Rachel, we've got this question here for you from Janet.
What's the smallest material we can build things with?
So, Rachel, the smallest material we can build things with, what do you think?
Okay, well, the smallest sort of building block of any material is an atom, okay? And I guess that's the smallest thing you can build things with. You hear about splitting the atom. It's totally true. You can split an atom. But if you have a brick, which is something you're used to building things with, and you split that brick, you kind of get two small bricks. If you split an atom into two pieces, it's like splitting a brick and ending up with, say, two balls of cotton wool or something. You end up with something completely different. So our smallest building block of materials is a single atom. And actually, people do build things with single atoms. So there are technologies whereby you can take a tiny, tiny needle, really, really sharp, and essentially use it to push materials around. And there are some guys at IBM in the US, and they use single atoms on surfaces to build what they call quantum corrals. Now, a corral, I guess, in Old West terms, is basically like a fence. So they build a fence out of atoms on a surface, and you can actually look at pictures of them with every atom in a circle, and they're not enclosing kind of little tiny cows like a corral would have done in the Old West. They're enclosing electrons, which are negatively charged particles, and then looking at how the electrons behave in that little fence they've built.
Why actually is it useful to be able to fiddle with atoms like this, though? Is this actually going to help us in the future if we can engineer atoms in this way?
Well, potentially. So everybody uses, I'm sure, like laptops and tablet computers and all this kind of thing. And those computers have been getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And as they get smaller and smaller, they get faster and faster. And the reason that computing companies like IBM, Intel, anybody like that are really interested in building with atoms is they're pushing the size of these little switches inside computers right down to the atomic scale. It's a tough thing to do, though, but there are actually even now companies out there who are developing like industrial scale technologies building at the atomic scale.
Is it also relevant that, I think it was Chris McManus who came on this program, he wrote the book about being right and left-handed and said that actually asymmetry begets asymmetry. So if you want to build something asymmetric, you start with particles themselves that are asymmetric. So if you want to build, say, a really strong component for a jet engine, then you actually have to start with the right things in the right configuration down at the atomic scale so that you get something on the big scale that actually has those properties. It's just amplified up to a big scale that we can see.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of things like a jet engine, you need exactly the right ingredients, but the metals that are used in jet engines, there, the important length scale there is very, very tiny. So down at what I would call the nanometer scale, people might be more happy in millimeters, and a nanometer is like a millionth of a millimeter. And you have to engineer the structure of that material right down at that scale in order for the jet engines to work. The thing that's tough about jet engines is that they have to keep working at really, really high temperatures. And you can't let the material get longer, expand by even very, very small fractions at those high temperatures. Otherwise, the blades of the jet engine will start bumping into the casing and the aeroplane goes slightly bang, which is not really what you want.
Well, the claim that's made by the companies that make and engineer these jet engines is that the gas stream that's running through the middle of that engine is at about 1500 degrees centigrade, and the materials that the engine itself is made of melt at less than that temperature. So you're actually containing and constraining and using a gas stream that's at more than the melting temperature of the thing you've made your engine from, and you have to engineer it to withstand that, which is just phenomenal work, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. And there are different ways that materials can deform and expand and change shape. And some of those we have to worry about at like normal room temperature, but some of them only start when you get close to the melting temperature. So that means that you have to really be very clever about how you engineer structures right up at those really high temperatures.
Rachel, thank you.